Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. I think it is important for us to reflect upon why do we pursue education of Dharma or spirituality, and why, and we, what's the reason for cultivating spirituality or practicing spirituality? It's very important for us to have a clear goal, if you will, in our mind. Why do we engage in the study and practice of Dharma or spirituality? We must understand that our purpose of studying and practicing spirituality or Dharma is not to, you know, to be successful in accomplishing what we call the worldly aims of this lifetime, such as you know, becoming very famous and well known all over the world or the universe, or the, you know, to be successful in making money or becoming rich somehow, getting engaging in spirituality. You know, we should not have such motivations, if you will, as we pursue the study and practice of Dharma. If you look at the life story of our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, his whole purpose behind pursuing spirituality is to transcend, if you will, there's so much feedback here, to transcend worldly aims and objectives. And when we look at his life story, what he really did was he, you know, renounced his royal life. He abandoned his in a princely life and went into in search of the truth. So that really indicates that fulfilling, if you will, material needs or materialism, which also includes, you know, becoming, you know, big name, is really not you know, the purpose of you know, practicing Dharma.
다가나게 교회니 야가급도 전시 다가나게 교회니까 제가 두번냐니 교회도 사야면 기튼 주거니 배 유결로 전된다는 거 말이야. 배 소수에는 배 던져 컴파니 그래서 가세에 단단히 애는 배 단 능주 주의 힘이 나지니 아니 교부는 거 말이야. 세자 던져 컴하고 놀았어.
And many great Indian and Tibetan masters who have, you know, followed, if you will, the footsteps of Shakyamuni Buddha, our historical and founding teacher, great Mahasiddhas of India, or the great adepts of India, as well as great adepts of Tibet. You know, when we really study the life stories, what we come to see is that they led very simple and contented life. They did not make the accomplishment of material goods and also getting big name as something important. They did not attach much importance to worldly aims and objectives. Rather, they renounced those things and completely dedicated themselves into pure spirituality, leading a very simple and contented life, and they accomplished a great deal of you know, spiritual achievements.
That is also 다 교류야 된다 저 다 문에 보내 그게 소시 뭐 센스상에 가르잖아 라한테 얘네 다 동해 막고 기부 쉬운 거 알았어 동해 땅 동해 땅 되게 하면 동해 땅 맵 저야 땅 동해 그 동해 땅 중에 주 다 김주스 남도 동해 그 주대 동해 라 동해 땅 동해 주대 다 들이 탑이 채도 내가 라는 교류를 했어.
So if you ask, you know, what is real purpose behind, or should be behind, if you will, our pursuing spirituality or Dharma, is that we, deep down in our mind, all of us are same in that we are seeking complete freedom or liberation from suffering and its causes. Both self and others, you know, nobody likes suffering and pain. And but there are what are called causes and conditions which bring unwanted suffering and pains to us and to others. So all of us really want to be free from suffering and its causes. So that freedom state, if you will, or that liberation, if you will, is what we are seeking. So that is a goal of, or should be a goal of our spiritual
spirituality.
In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you here is this, that all of us are same in that we are seeking complete freedom from suffering and its causes, namely deluded states of mind and contaminated karmic actions. And so basically we are seeking nirvana or nibbana, or we are seeking complete enlightenment. So these are our spiritual aims or the goals. And so in order to accomplish these goals, we really need to study and do the practice. Yeah. It's wonderful to make aspirational prayers. You know, I'm not trying to undermine the importance of saying prayers, but simply saying prayers is not good enough. Yeah, that is not sufficient practice that would lead us to nirvana and Buddhahood and enlightenment. So what is essential is to cultivate spirituality within our mind, which is we call practice. So practice is key to achieving our spiritual goals.
방랑이 보디 파빵괴야 좀 출랑괴야 달랑이야 좀 파빵괴야 방 방배 아니 방괴야 그랬던 저다 소소 런지를 저 셰괴야 그다 아 아니 다른 데스는도 어때 아니 랑이 태섬 전에 셰고요 그래서
In other words, what does practice of Dharma involve? Or what does cultivating spirituality really mean? In a very basic sense, it involves two things, as I have often been explaining to you. That's what we call the practice of abandonment, the things we need to get rid of, we should abandon, we should not do. Okay, and then there is the practice of cultivation, meaning that there are things we need to accomplish, we need to fulfill. In other words, the great, qualities that we would like to have, the great enlightenment, the wisdom, and all the great things that we would like to accomplish, so those are the things we need to cultivate within our mind. So that's called the practice of cultivation. So how does it all come into place? If you say, where do we begin, or what should we be doing? But this is where we stress the importance of listening to teaching, or maybe the modern word is study of Dharma, and contemplation and meditation. So that's why it's very important to combine, if you will, study, contemplation and meditation, or listening to teaching, contemplation and meditation.
Töbe dene hebrinches. Rangi ani hojojini, ani kyo mambu tö, rangi lo, dene shaviyin ani dende mambu kiyin kuris, töbe dene hebrinches. Töbe dema inba, ta töbe dema inba doos. Dene ma inba, langdur gu neyini bu ta, töbe yagu shaviyin, langdur gu neyini yagu kiyin kuris. So ta töbe dema inba. Töbe ya da, ta tunla töbe nyangin deba toos. Asa taba nyangin debi kumbha togu yor ten ya ane rang ane kyo tö, kyo töba tsangma zi töwe jesu duba zi ane ane tabi kumbha togu yor ten ya
In the Buddhist literatures, we find the enumeration of the great benefits of listening to teaching or studying Dharma, or maybe the better word choice these days is education. First thing first, we need to educate ourselves in spirituality or Dharma. That's all things began. So it is through education, or educating ourselves in spiritual matters, that we develop knowledge about different dimensions, different aspects of Dharma, and so that information and knowledge is important to be able to do the practice. And another benefit of listening to teaching or education is that once we know what we should do and should not do, what are the things we need to abandon and what are the things we need to cultivate, you see, and so that is a that is essential for our spiritual practice. And of course, the ultimate benefit of Dharma education or listening to teaching is to be able to accomplish Nirvana and enlightenment. That is, like, we're able to transcend worldly existence and go beyond, as you would say, the ordinary levels of achievement and existence.
Something like that. Then they dang around the Tamalo, that and then around the late Tambor was. So, late Tambor in Tani, Tai, around the two other carriers, no? Yen, never written to Nancy Pine at the time, never the kitchen brothers. And he yen, they told, and he yen a pamper do to them. Take my pamper get out most to Matumna, yeah? Same to Tony, and he pamper do it on the Mombata. The one I get, that never machine at the Kita kitchen brothers. Drunk and loot and art and each gone.
So we are all at the beginner's level, Le Thangpoba in Tibetan, and that's where all things begin, and that's where we are. And so what I really feel is important for us to keep in our mind and in our everyday life to follow is that we see that we do not harm anyone. Okay, refrain from harming others. So additionally, as we refrain from harming others, if we could help them, benefit them, so we should do that. But even if we are not able to benefit them literally, you know. But at least in our heart and mind, we should develop this positive attitude and thought that we really want to benefit others. At least we develop the state of mind to benefit others, even if we are not able to do much, you know, in a literal sense. Okay? And so those things are really important. And as you know, I often explain to you that each of us has got these three resources. We have body, speech, and mind. By making use of these three resources we have, that we are able to, you know, do something for others, help others. Even if we couldn't help others, at least see that our actions of body, speech, and mind do not hurt others and do not harm others. As the great experienced masters have got this to say, and as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that we get what we do to others. If we harm others, you know, that is a negative karma, it will return to us. Negative karma brings negative results. So if we harm others, but that negative karma of ours will harm us back. But on the other hand, if we help others, which is a positive karma, but indirectly, maybe we may not get the benefit right now and then, but in the long run, we are the ones who will enjoy the fruit of that good karma. So that's how what we do to others is what comes back, you know, and that's what we give, got to keep in our mind. As great Indian Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva very clearly tells us in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhisattva Char Avatar, what he really basically says there is that when we really analyze and examine, you know, all the suffering and the difficulties we experience, where do they really come from? So when we analyze the matter, what we see is that these are the results of our own negative karmic actions, negative karma. And we create and accumulate negative karmas under the influence of our self-centeredness, selfishness. When we are so much caught up in our own, you know, self-interest and self-centeredness, then we end up doing a lot of negative karmas, you know, which hurt others, and these negative karmas, you know, they bring the negative results to us. And then the great Bodhisattva goes on to tell us that on the other hand, if we help others and do something beneficial to others, which a lot of them has to come from cherishing others, caring for others. When we really care for others, cherish others, and do something beneficial to and for them, then these good karmas will ripen and bring good results to ourselves as well. So in terms of Bodhisattva's way of life or the Mahayana practice, that is the understanding of the context, that there is nobody, you know, among sentient beings that can be excluded. You know, yeah, I care for this and that, but there is no but, you know, to exclude anybody. Well, we might think in terms of people who harm us and we might label them as our enemies. You know, well, these are the ones I can't really think about, and why should I? But others are fine, I'll really, you know, think about them. We cannot exclude, you know, so-called enemies from our positive thinking and, you know, practice. you know, from Bodhisattva's practice point of view, all the more we have to pay more attention to these agents or the people, because these are the ones who provide challenges to our practice and growth, you see. So we really need to pay more attention to them and say, how can I deal with them in a positive sense? You know, they, and, you know, so we can't exclude them, but we have to pay more special attention to such a,
people or agents. Shavam Tamike, Tamipe, Taba Tamik, and as Gibberes. Sanji pay Naranso toy, Amaranso pay Gibbers in the Jugaris. Yena Koge Ran Gibber Mazum, the Shen, Yen Gibbern Zin, Yen Tenso Randu Yavar to Yen to Told by Insani, Kota and Sanji Kompatomni, Kuzukolo Koranso Gwent Jugar was. Sure, Maran Tanda at the hand, those in the Maranba Neorosta.
Because of our, you know, habituation in self-centeredness or selfishness, you know, we are more likely to think this way, and that makes more sense to us, a whole lot of sense probably, like, you know, first, I'm really important. I need to take care of myself, you know, everything. And then, by the way, if I'm happy and everything goes well with me, then by the way, you know, this will be something good to others as well, you know. And so I'm really more important than others, so I've got to, you know, take care of my self-interest first, and then, by the way, there will be something good for others. Well, this is where, you know, we have gone wrong, if you will, or met errors in our thinking and attitudes. So let me explain this a little more. As it is stated in elsewhere, that just look at the difference between a complete enlightened being such as Shakyamuni Buddha and ourselves. Okay, you know, why do we find a big difference here is because, you know, Buddha changed the course of action and thinking long time ago, whereas we have been thinking the same way which we have been thinking for ages. You know, that's why we remain in the situation we are. Okay? If we think in terms of many, many eons before, there was a time that Shakyamuni Buddha, which we cherish so much and so holy and all that, he was just like us. There was no difference at all. We were on the same level as he was. He was not a bit better than us, you know, same. But then, you know, Buddha changed his course of thinking and action. Instead of pursuing selfish interests, he, you know, developed the attitude of cherishing others, and so followed that way or the direction and benefited others, and eventually he became what we call complete enlightened being or Buddha. And now we take refuge in him, and he gave us a lot of teachings, whereas we got stuck in our way of thinking, habituation, and we know where we are in our situation. So this big difference between Shakyamuni Buddha and ourselves should tell the complete story. You know, why we should care for others and why we should try to work with our own mind and, you know, how should I say, reduce our selfishness.
Singit someone of yours, Yawling and Kin Tindu Yeda. Tanda, they took Dori to come to your name, Che Yamaris, Sanjay Gariti, and the Sabente, Singitamki yours.
I mean, the good news is that, you know, all of us, not just all of us here in this, you know, monastery, but every sentient being that we can think of. You know, all the six types of sentient beings in samsara or single existence we talk about has got what we call the seed of enlightenment within our mind. We got the Buddha nature, Okay? And because of that potentiality, that everybody, you know, is capable of becoming a complete enlightened being. You know, and so we need to activate our seat of enlightenment through actions by abandoning negativities and adopting positive actions. As we pursue those actions properly, then we are able to activate our seat of enlightenment, and so then we get closer to enlightened state. You know, otherwise everybody has the same seat of enlightenment.
That can be the same again. You might get such years and good jamaras. Carries in the Savate, Savate, Pendi, Savate, Sutan, Tilbat, and Sambe, Gombat, and the Tilson Gonzo Sutta Gugaris. The same matter, Savate, me too, Maris.
Well, as I said, the great news is that all of us, every sentient being, has got what is called Buddha nature or the seed of enlightenment within ourselves. That is why we could become a Buddha. Okay, there is a basis, there is a ground here. But having said that, now we cannot feel complacent about this. You know, great, I've got a seed of enlightenment in myself, I'm going to wait. You know, whenever that just comes or blooms by itself. But that, you know, it's not going to happen unless we do something, you know, to it and with it. This is where we often talk about, you know, the importance of study, contemplation, meditation, or Dharma education, contemplation, and meditation. It is through these activities or the actions or practices that we are able to activate the seed of Buddha in us, and we are able to nurture it and then, you know, progress, you know, towards enlightened states. So don't take the message to mean that I got a Buddha nature inside me, so I'm going to wait. So it's good, it's cool, you know. So it will just come up whenever it wants to come up. No, just like any other seed, it needs to be brought with all other favorable conditions for it to germinate, you know.
So, trans-hakugurvas. Data and negative, submit you into any kinsel and do that, Mandu Tani. That was a you see the matter was. Did a crazy net, Hinky, she changed it. Any Chutan, Chueta, the Legion Zongur, the Legion Monsona, Savi the Pay, San Alcasi, the Jumbocasi, Debbie in the Jasham of Lord Jasham of Day in the Hoy, Mia Yamaros, the Chanta Mantina, into Mara, the Transvaal over was. Didn't argue this.
Well, I mean, we all know, and you know it very well, how if we want to grow anything from any kind of seeds, whether it is, you know, wheat, barley, any kind of grain or flowers, whatever it may be, you know, the seeds need to interact with many other conditions for the seeds to germinate and bring whatever the sprouts and the fruits. Seeds don't grow just by themselves or on their own. Okay? And so what do we need? Well, we get a seed, whatever we want to grow, we find a fertile soil or a piece of land, we put the seeds in. Well, that's not enough. Well, we have to see whether it is the right season, it's the right temperature, do we need to irrigate or, you know, water it, what do we need to use fertilizer. When all these things come together, then we have, you know, whatever we want, crops or flowers, see that? So the seeds have the potency to produce these results, but they need to interact with other favorable conditions. You know, otherwise they will never grow. You know, like the seeds in the market. If you don't buy the seeds and plant and water and everything, those seeds have the potency to produce things, but they're never going to do it, even after 100 years. You know, maybe they get ruined, whatever the case may be. That's the same thing with our seed of enlightenment. It is there. It has the potential to, you know, make us enlightened being, but it needs to be activated and it needs to interact with those other favorable conditions. Of course, I mean, the seed of enlightenment is really something we need to kind of investigate our state of mind and understand. It's not a visible thing. It's not something inside us and we can say, you know what, look at that little dot or thing there, that's your seed, enlightenment. It's not. It's not a visible kind of a seed, but it is a part of our mind.
So that Ranki, Kyr, Teba, the Samba, the Gomashi, the Kyr, the Lu, the Kyr, the Zon, the Chagdwas.
Just as we need to plant the seeds of any, you know, ordinary grains or whatever, we need to water the seeds, we need to provide the right temperature. In the same way, it is through study, contemplation and meditation that we provide the necessary favorable conditions to activate our seed of enlightenment. So talking about those three things, listening to teaching, I call study, contemplation, meditation, you know, each is a process, but those three processes must work together. And that's why often in Buddhism we talk about different levels of wisdom, if you will. That's what we call the wisdom that arises from listening to teaching, wisdom that arises from contemplation, and wisdom that arises from meditation.
So that this Buddha, hama,
so listening, contemplation, meditation, they are, you know, causally related with one another. But that what I mean to say is that in order to have, you know, wisdom arising from meditation, we must have wisdom arising from contemplation. In order to have wisdom from contemplation, we need to have wisdom from listening to teaching. Because the preceding wisdoms give rise to the subsequent wisdoms, so they are causally related, you know. So of these three things, listening, contemplation, meditation, first thing first, which is listening to teaching or study or Dharma education, there are so many benefits of doing that, as I mentioned a few things earlier. And another great benefit that I didn't mention before is that, metaphorically speaking, listening to teaching is just like, you know, lighting the candle or, you know, to dispel the darkness of ignorance. Right, when the sun shines or the light comes on, the darkness cannot stay, it has to go away. Like that, when you light the candle of wisdom, then the darkness of ignorance has to go away. As much as, you know, I emphasize the importance of Dharma education, listening to teaching, which is really important, that's where all things began, if you will, but I also do not want to overemphasize it in the sense that, well, when you do a lot of listening to teaching or study, then you know a lot, then you think like, okay, cool, great, I know a great deal. Well, that's where, you know, you become intellectual. Well, just being an intellectual person is not going to lead you to those spiritual goals that we are talking about, you know. Yes, understanding Dharma is important, education is important, but that's not everything. What is even more important, as great master will say, and Kesava quoted, is to cultivate Dharma. You know, after learning about the Dharma, we need to put it into practice. So this is where practice leads us to accomplishments. Just as a person who really is dying to, you know, find out, you know, the taste of a sugar cane, you know, and simply knowing about the sugar and sugar cane is not going to give you the taste. Okay, so what really this person need to do is really get the taste of the sugar cane, which is contained within the bark of the sugar cane. You have to remove the bark, and then inside whatever that is, that's where you have to get it in. That's the essence of sugar, you know. So in the same way, maybe the chocolate might work better for you. You know, so to get the real taste of the chocolate, you got to eat the chocolate, not just kind of smell the chocolate box. That may not work out well. And so the same thing, in order to get the real taste of Dharma, You know, we got to practice it. You know, just knowing about Dharma is the beginning. It's not the end of everything. That's good. That's where it should begin. But just being an intellectual about Dharma is not good enough. So as I often do at the beginning of my teachings on Sunday, that I spend a little bit of time talk about a lot of those, you know, things which I feel are important for all of us to think about, okay, before I go back to the text and you know, continue to explain where we left off last time. So perhaps the most important thing I said today was that in our everyday life, us, as I always include myself here in the audience, is that, you know, see that we don't do anything that hurts others or harms others. You know, that's number one. Well, as we do that, now we also feel that we can help others and benefit others, do that. But if we couldn't help others, then at least don't harm others. And another, you know, important thing I mentioned about this, all of us are seeking complete freedom from suffering in these courses. That's the liberation, or further than that is the enlightenment. In order to get there, we need to integrate or combine these three things, listening, contemplation, and meditation. Of course, all of these things, you know, have to be built on a very gradual process, if you will. You know, we start very simple and very basic, and then we started to make a progress and go up, if you will. You know, we don't want to jump ahead of our own level and then started to come backward. You know, oh, no, now that's too much. Now I'm going to take a step back. And then, oh, no, that's still not, you know, I can't handle it. Go back. That's not the way to do it. We go from ground up. We don't come from the up down.
And
another key thing I mentioned is that we have to learn to attach more importance to others than self. Okay? And so where should it all begin? It should begin with, you know, maybe our own family members, our friends, our circle of people, you know, we deal with. You know, we should learn first to cherish them more than ourselves, consider them more important than ourselves. Then slowly we can expand our attitude and the scope of our thinking and practice.
And
we are going through this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Great Kadamba Geshe's you know, advices. And if there are anybody new here, you know, because we are following this text, you know, we will continue from where we left off last week.
Remember
that great Indian master Atisha was you know, giving this advice to one of his monk disciples or students. And the topic that he was dealing with last time was that how, you know, one should not deceive and cheat others. Okay, so we are continuing with that part. And at this point, Adisha says that, you know, you cannot do that because you got to remember the pledge or the promise you made before your teachers or spiritual gurus and before your meditational deities and, you know, before all enlightened beings. When you generated bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment, you promised, you pledged that I'm going to care for sentient beings. So having met that promise, now how can you deceive and cheat others? You just can't do that. You got to remember your promise. So how does this relate to most of us here, if you wonder, you know, is that I mean, those of us who have, you know, made our decision to follow, you know, Buddha and Buddha's, you know, teachings, we have taken refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Okay? So that is our foundation practice and that's where we all began. Now having gone for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, it comes with a duty or responsibilities, if you will. We call them precepts. Okay? So having gone for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, we have certain precepts to keep. And so we need to remember those precepts. Of course, you know, recollecting the precepts of refuge practice is, you know, so that we follow those precepts. We don't do anything which would undermine or contradict, you know, our precepts. So implicitly the message that we should get from this kind of statement is that, as I said, in a general sense, if you have decided to be a Buddhist and you have gone for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, then you have to think about the precepts of your refuge practice and see that you are not undermining your precepts through your way of thinking and actions. Now, in Buddhism, there are many levels of precepts or the vows that one could take. Now, if you are one of those who has taken monastic ordination, well, there are a lot of vows that you have promised to keep, so you want to see that, okay, I want to think about what the vows I have promised to keep, am I doing something that undermines these vows or not?
Yeah.
Adisha only said, you know, that once you have pledged to generate bodhicitta and care for sentient beings in the presence of gurus, meditational deities and Buddhas, you got to remember your precepts and you cannot undermine them. Now, but extension of that thought or the statement, what other messages we should get, this is what I'm trying to explore and tell you, that many of us have received tantric empowerments or initiations or the abhishekas. So the tantric empowerments involve tantric commitments and pledges. So now we got to bring to our mind, because when we took the initiation, in the presence of gurus, Buddhas and bodhisattvas and, you know, all of the above and more, we said we are going to take these commitments and we are going to keep them. Now having met such pledges and commitments, now we got to see that we don't do anything to undermine, to transgress, to break our commitments. Let's say even now we're trying to sort of talk about the different levels of these vows in Buddhism that one could take, that many of us have taken. If we put all of us on the same level, you know, disregarding whether one is a monastic or not, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. What we all must be abiding by is the basic ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech and mind. That applies to one and all. You know, whether we are monk or not, doesn't matter. Whether we are nun or not, doesn't matter. So long as we care to be, care about spirituality, then we got to keep that ethics. Of course, what would facilitate our practice of observing the ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions, body, speech, mind, is if we really think about why should we care about practicing these ethics? What are the benefits? What are the disadvantages of not keeping them? So then that will provide us more understanding and facilities to, you know, observe such ethics. Just to briefly explain, the disadvantages of breaking our basic ethics is that, let's say, you know, we don't care about the ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, spirit and mind. So we will just be go wild and crazy and, you know, do all negativities of any kind. Not only that we do all negativities, now we don't do any purification practice because we don't care. Okay? So what happens then is that these negativities will precipitate our rebirth in the worst kind of scenarios or the situations possible, where we will have tremendous amount of suffering. Okay, so this is what happens. If you do negativities, don't purify them, then that would equal to, the result would be in a really bad state of rebirth. Every negative karmic action, you know, would bring different types of results. Okay, so when I say that negativities will precipitate our rebirth in the worst kind of states, that's not the end of the story. That's just the one kind of the result negativities can bring. And the technical term we use is called ripening results, namin in Tibetan. But then sometimes what happens? Well, we somehow get out of that negative situation. Let's say we are reborn as a human being. Okay, due to some other good karmas, we are born a rich family. You know, we have all the wonderful facilities and everything. But unfortunately, life gets really short, cut short. You know, so born rich with everything, but can't live too long to enjoy it, dies soon. That kind of a short lifespan is still the remnant of the negative karmas that we did in the past, especially killing others. You know. So in a technical sense, that kind of a result is what we call result corresponding to the cause, what we did in the past. We cut short somebody's lifespan, now got to pay for it.
You know. Taka le mugi chui lebte masa ba chin ten zen ji she ke chim burish.
And if it's still, then the result of that negative would be becoming very poor. Okay? And so in other words, the point I'm trying to get across to you is that every negativity we create, it would bring forth several different kinds of result, a ripening result, a result corresponding to the past experience, a result corresponding to the past action, and so on. So we got to remember those things, and then we watch out, if you will, that okay, now we are not going to do anything negative.
Wrong any yeja any re yeja ran the control long be na ta control ma zeba congress ka nam ta au ta yeng ran ne ba zeba go in the kali khabo res malabs kali khabo yin the zeba gom na ya ho res de te ka hi mama hi se.
And the next item that applies really directly to us as well is Adisha says that when we encounter special objects of patience or tolerance, that means those who give us hard time, you know, these are the special objects of patience, then we should not easily dispense, like, you know what, it's really difficult to deal with these people, you know. So, you know, we act in a very, react in a negative way, you know, we get mad, we get angry, we go crazy, you know, don't do that. However difficult it is, we got to remember, we have to practice patience.
I can't patience, don't say that. Adisha says, yeah, kabo res, kabo yinaya, nyabu zeba gona kidrana yungu res.
So we can't easily say that, you know, I can't, you know, how to say, take it anymore, or I can't be patient with these people. Because what Adisha is telling is, he said, I know, it's not easy to do that, but we got to do it, you know.
I see, thank you. That thing ever came in France, Nang Nami Nang Pinsita, Pinja Nang Pinsita, Legacy Saka, Tang, Kawaii Sakandi, never doing ever to Zerbati going at the kitchen, but this is a commercial.
So I think we all need to familiarize our state of mind with cultivating patience, you know, develop that sense of intimacy, connection with the patients, because it applies to any different context of interactions we can see ourselves in. Maybe we are in interpersonal interaction with somebody, but we've got to have a patience. We don't know who that other person is going to give us a hard time. Maybe we are in a small group, our family setting, somebody in the group is really, you know, driving us nuts, you know. How we go to the workplace, somebody out there, you know, the good buddies here is really driving us nuts here. So we got to have patience everywhere, in the interpersonal interactions, in the small group interactions, in the organization or workplace interactions. So we need to put on this armor of patience day in and day out, okay? But don't worry about the weight. This armor has no weight. It's, you know, it's not like putting on a, you know, a ballistic vest, you know, like bulletproof thing. That still has got a weight, you know, and it's so uncomfortable to go to bed with that. You know, imagine that. But this is kind of the armor, or, you know, that we can put on, and we can sleep really well at night, and we can just, you know, do whatever we want. It does not have, how to say, any weight to carry around. So, but we do need this armor, whether at home, outside, at night, or during the day.
So that 말안서 개외쇼 내가 또 키를 치 키를 땅네 애미 개외쇼도 막 키를 땅이었다 띵이 내버려 말안서 땅 냉겨냈다.
So basically, you know, what I'm trying to talk about here is that each of us has, if you will, two, different states of mind within us. We have the positive state of mind, we have a negative state of mind. You know, so we all have that, you know. We can call them our resources of some kind, the bad resources and the good resources that we have. So what usually happens is that the negative state of mind seems to gain more power, so become very influential. So the positive state of mind kind of become a very subordinate and, you know, dormant form. So then the negativity rules. And that's why, so then often our actions are not only our mental action, but our physical and other actions become negative. Now, as a spiritual practitioner, what we're trying to bring is, you know, bring a change here, transformation, that we want to increase the power of positive state of mind that we have, so that the positive mind rules and the negative state of mind, you know, is controlled by the positive state of mind.
So, that will give you shock. Pasen nalak sinamin ta mgi sho ti ni la rang ne ngo res se rang juli rang juli ga ne res ni na rang pe ne ba shin ko ta ne ba shin ba ngara zo ha ko ga ma res ben da rang kebran zin ta ni huma kebi ma sta rang kebran zin ni ye ne ba shin bi na rang kebran zin ke de mgi sho chang ko so ta ti ni rang le ngo se ta rang ke ka se ur da rang le pe bi Some of the you're saying, I think the winning is again, never say that, future which I'll be honest.
And I mean, at times there are a lot of negative states of mind that we have. We even don't realize how destructive and negative they are, or what kind of a harm they are producing to us, you know. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we kind of being indifferent to those states of mind. The case in point here is earlier I mentioned about the self-cherishing attitude, which for many of us seems like, well, that's my buddy. You know, that's what really cares for me. You know, that's a good thing. You know, and so once we cherish ourselves too much, often what happens at expense of others, then we started to do things to protect this self-cherishing interest and what the heck, you know, go and harm others. But then that seems to like protecting us at this moment and, you know, helping us. But when we think in terms of the long run, this is really destructive to us, because what we do to others, as I said, it comes back, you know. So whatever negativities we create under the influence of self-cherishing attitude, it'll come back to us, it'll get us, you know. And so that's what we don't want. So we need to understand, you know, when we talk about negative state of mind of ours, what kind of state of mind are we talking about? Self-cherishing is one of them, you know.
Sanjay ji gompa ma so pa dung arang chul ta sim tuk si ni mi gi sho ta gi sho ta mi mu bi sho si na ligu zai a gi vi sho tri ki ni ta so sa li gadi ar ta kanji rang ki ban zi bi tien zi ta gi ki ban zi bi tien zi mu te rang ki li gadi ar ni ka gadi ar was.
So we are really talking about the things which already exist in our mind in some sense. We have the self-cherishing attitude, but we also have a cherishing others as well. We have that state of mind as well. So what we really happening is, as we work towards enlightened state, we need to work with our state of mind, try to enhance and increase the positive state of mind, and try to calm down and get rid of the negative state of mind. So that's how we progress towards enlightened state.
성전 더 산지 공부도 전에 묘목 쇼 처음으로 다 세네 단 자원이 매버신다 give show 담 바이 뭔지 주고 성전 들리지 그래 산지 공부도 전 다 들리게 뭐 알았어.
So all the deluded states of mind we have are part of the negative state of mind. And as we pursue our spiritual education and practice, we slowly, slowly get rid of them. Once we reach the complete enlightened state where we become Buddha, we're completely free of all negative states of mind, delusions. Now what we are left with is nothing but positive state of mind and positive actions. So that's our goal, you know, we are trying to reach.
As
we talk about the importance of cultivating patience in our everyday life, You know, don't get the idea that, well, this is something those of us who are at the level of beginners or ordinary people, we need it. You know, as in maybe bodhisattvas, they don't need it anymore. The bodhisattvas on the higher levels of spiritual grounds, you know, they still enhance their level of patience. It's very important for them as well. As Geshe-la quoted a statement from the great Indian master, Chandrakirti's supplement in the middle way, Madhyamik Avatar, where it says that there is no non-virtue that is more destructive than impatience. So losing our coolness or patience, it has many great negative effects, which includes, one of the results of being impatient is that, you know, one will be reborn, you know, with a very repulsive look. You know, well, that's a perfect plan. If somebody wants to be really ugly, here is the way to do it. You know, if we lose our temper and being very impatient, the result would be, even if we are born as a human being in the next life due to some other good karma, but we will be born as a very ugly, repulsive, you know, okay, I'll stop there. I won't go more than, you know, a human being that everybody don't enjoy, you know, to be around. And also because of impatience leads us to many other negativities. So basically we end up perpetuating the cycle of negativities. We're impatient here, next life we're impatient. It just continues the cycle of our negativities.
So she in the name of the Tangani Dora Chimseda. Only legalist and any piggy, Kota Sawina. Only Yinda to pay. They will never join, they will never town, say, you will join, Gurus. So that they can drag Yawayamas, Teta, never do. So she any Kondo Tele, any piggy, Zerba go ahead to teach him which it is.
So as I mentioned earlier, that you know, we need to practice patience in many different contexts, in our interpersonal interactions, in our family or small group interactions, in our organization or workplace interactions. Because, I mean, think about that. When one of us, you know, lose our temper, you know, that disturbs the whole atmosphere. You know, now everybody lose peace of mind because everybody's kind of like, oh my gosh, you know. Anywhere, whether it's in a family setting or whether it's among the friends or whether it's workplace, if somebody loses temper, that has so much effect on the atmosphere. Everybody is like, ooh, you know. Now, others got affected. Maybe they're happy and peaceful before. Now their even peace is disturbed. And so that's what we don't want. So as we talk about practicing patience, it all is something we should begin doing with the people around us, family members and friends and, you know, co-workers and all of that. And from a spirituality point of view, it is stated that if we lose a temper or become angry for a moment, it is so destructive in that it could destroy positive energy or merit we have accumulated for 100 eons. Okay, now think about that, you know. And so not only from a spiritual point of view, probably you have experienced it or you know somebody, you know, has gone through this, that even in a worldly sense, maybe you are there to do a good business, sign a wonderful contract, and you're going to make a lot of money. Just that moment before you sign the contract, you kind of lose your temper, and there goes the contract. You know, who wants to do a business with an angry man or person? And so, I mean, in a very worldly sense also, anger is not something good. It's not useful. Maybe you are successful in your career, successful in your relationship, whatever, but often the anger is the one which spoils everything, right? Yeah, but, you know, this person has this kind of problem. So from both spiritual and, worldly point of view, patience is a virtue, and impatience or anger is something we don't need it.
Pena chue namba ta pa dungi tin zeta ki kar sen gora ta migi shol ta pe da te ne ta ngo ne tham khe ta ngo tham khe ne na ta so su gi pena so su ji la te myo mo kan che yo na te ene pe ge min hwe ne te khon to sian de ba te control magic and zepa gom sem ta de ke yi ji ji ni ka ba ni sel ti shegu es de za chuan se so se ni pe ti ni shen de se to ni shen ya wo ya
And you know what the practitioners do is they really think that one's own negative state of mind, you know, all the negative states of mind are the real enemy they have. They don't have any real enemy outside. Okay? So once we have gained control over our mind, then we really have friends. We have no enemies. You know, so in order to deal with their deluded states of mind or negativities, first they try to examine what is a predominant delusion that I have. Is it an anger? Is it an attachment? It is a jealousy, it is this, it all that. You know, you go through the list. I say, okay, I got this bigger issue here to deal with. And then you just try to think about it a lot. Even if it means that you have to put reminders, I don't know, notes on your fridge. You know, one of those, you know, like, okay, anger is got my problem. I got to deal with that. You know, okay, maybe in the bedroom wall, anger, think about that, you know. And maybe that's how it should work out, so that we are able to deal with it, you know, whatever issue is.
Yeah. Careful with the anger.
Yeah, careful with anger. Don't befriend anger, you know. So.
Okay. Tak yang tarang tu kan ni, tu.
Yang tinggi sure. Adik ni sekarang sure, yang nyunyik.
Walas.
Tua. Tengah. We'll stop there today, and I have a few announcements to make and some prayer requests. First announcements. Geshe-la will give refuge on June 7th, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. in the evening here. And so this is like in some way a preparation, seems like for fasting retreat called Nyungne practice. You know, that will be followed here. So that Wednesday, June 7th, Wednesday, there will be no Lamrim class. You know, people who usually gather together for Lamrim practice, there won't be because Geshe-la has to give refuge, 7:30. And then the Nyungne retreat, which is the fasting retreat of Arya Avalokiteshvara, the Buddha of Compassion, will begin on Saturday, June 10th at 5 a.m., 5 in the morning it begins, and then it goes this whole day. And then Sunday, June 11th, again it starts at 5, it goes on. And that retreat will conclude with one morning session on June 12th at 5 a.m. Right? So it's like Saturday, Sunday, whole day practice and retreat. Monday morning at 5, meet here, then do one session of practice, and then you will be relieved of the Yunne vows and, you know, carry on with your life.
Introduction from him.
No. So on Wednesday, June 7, as Geshe-la gives the refuge at 7:30, he will also give introduction to the Nyungne retreat. If you're new to this, you know, what does it mean, the fasting retreat, what is involved, he will also give introduction to Nyungne, you know, that evening. Okay. Prayer request. Two people have passed away whose names are here. One is Lizzie Hart, passed away last week, and it says George's mother passed away. It must be, the name is Muriel, 93. So prayers are requested for them.
Yes. Most dangerous time, and then the Yamun Huet, meaning doors, the thing is serving. And then that do kill, do you might keep Pachi Duji, Tendilla, that Sinji, Miss Amain Peters, 로아리 두근 나니다 제 평기 다 동참하고 무슨 말이지 제 근주 참말로 아니 아 땅 인도인에서 무슨 말이다 인도 땅상 터봤다 인도 땅상 터는데 아니 산지 취했던 게 왔다 기우신이다 채봤다 아 땡리겠다 그렇지
Well, we have got just two names here, so this should serve as reminders. It doesn't mean only two people passed away. You know, when we think in terms of six types of being in samsara or cyclical existence, and at the same time, how many beings, you know, die, probably it will be thousands and thousands. So we have to remember all of them, and we send our prayers and thoughts, you know, for their benefit. We pray that may they be able to, may their good karmas get activated, and have a good rebirth and be fortunate to come under the care and guidance of qualified spiritual masters and meet with the Dharma, and through their own efforts of practice they are able to find freedom and enlightenment. Let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to personal nirvana, obscuration to omniscient state, and we may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Shiva Vanya Bhava Me Bhava Tam Kone Kondo Pe Var Thank you so much. Here to see you too.